We were talking about our identity as pilgrims was our first lesson we did on our identity as a local church. We talked about last week our identity as Baptists. Now we're going to key in on our identity as a church. That's what we are in a church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse number 2, preach the word. Okay? There's a lot of different styles of preaching, but the Bible tells us it better be the word. You have a topical message, I hope it's the word. You have an expository message, I hope it's the word. Preach the word. Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. That means a church, the pastor, the teachers, the evangelist, whether they feel like it, they preach, whether they don't feel like it, they preach. You better be ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine matters. Doctrine is important. The church must teach doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is why we aren't called the well or the creek or the river or the journey or the catalyst or the true north. No, we're called a church. That's why we have Pilgrim Baptist and then the word church in the sign, on our sign rather. Because we are a church. And what is happening now is we, as American cultured Christianity starts to infiltrate people's minds, we lose the identity that we're supposed to be a called out, assembled people. We're supposed to be a church. Amen. A church, not a social club. Okay? It's not country club Christianity where, well, we just come and it's a life without storms. We're not a country club. And too many people are used to just attending services, but they never attend to God's business. They just show up for events. They're all about experiential events. They don't care about tending to the Father's business. They don't care about doing the work of the ministry. They just want to show up for a big to-do. This is a house, a church house. The Holy Spirit doesn't reside in these walls, people. The Holy Spirit doesn't doesn't reside in here, okay? We don't make this into a relic. That's Romanism. We don't make the pews and the pulpit and the piano and we don't make this into an idol. It houses us.
Amen.
Not the church. Amen. Bunch of country club Christianity is what we are dealing with. People want to dress up, they want to show up, they want to sing up, and then they just want to leave and go back to living their life. It's just an event they signed up for. The tickets are free, man. Show up. They never fall in love with God. They never really encounter God. They just like the people there. Or if they don't like the people there, they go to another place where they like the people there. Well, that's not a church. That's a country club. You're looking for people that are going to match and fit your social status. That's not what we are here. Have you been convicted of sin? Have you been compelled to live differently than how you were living last week? That's what I want. I want a preacher to tell me from the Word of God, here's how you need to get your life back in order. Or in order. We got social club Christianity. It's a Christian theme. The Bible anymore, it's just a prop. Okay? The Christian lingo, it's just a facade. Oh, yeah, I accepted Jesus into my heart. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I said a prayer. Yeah, I grew up in church. They know what to say. And when you talk to them, you would think that they're a Christian, but they're not. It's just prop. They're just propping up words. People, that's not the church. It's not the church. Well, do you have child care? Do you have a rec center? Do you have an egg hunt? Do you have all this stuff that's going to attract me so that it's worth it for me to take my family to your event? It's not my event. It's not your event. We've come here to worship God. The church worships God.
Amen.
Well, do you have upward sports? No, we don't. We have people that love God, and if you love God, we might end up playing sports at some point. But I'm not going to use a football to pull you in or to steal sheep from another church. You have upward sports. No, we don't. We don't have upward. We have an upward look. We have a blessed hope, and that's where we're looking. And you'd be surprised when God's people come for the right reasons, how many times they can enjoy a soccer game, how many times they can enjoy a football game, how many times they can... But we're not using that as the bait to get you here or to draw you out of somebody else's work, which is all that is, by the way. I got their materials. You want more members? Not those kind of members. Why would I want to steal members from another church by offering them flag football so that I can sell them on my deal? That's not Christianity. Well, people get saved out of that. Praise the Lord for people that get saved. I got no beef with that, and I have no argument for that. So praise the Lord. But look, we were at the fairgrounds yesterday. My son was doing cowboy stuff and riding horses all day. But no, we're not going to have cowboy church. Why do I need to dress up like a cowboy to get you to come? How come there's not Indian church? I mean, right? Like, where does it stop? Do we need cowboy church for the wannabe cowboys and Indian church for the wannabe Indians? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Seeker sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people get saved there. Praise the Lord for people that get saved. I got no beef with that. What I'm saying is we should identify as a church, not as something else to try to get people into our building to experience an event. That's not what we are doing. And we're not a rock concert. We are not a club. And if you want revival in America, I believe it starts with just shutting down all the music in these churches. The music is wrecking the thing. In Ezekiel, the Bible talks about the workman of thy tabors and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Who is that talking about? Young people. That Ezekiel verse that I just... In the day that thou wast created, tabors, their drums... and pipes, they're wind instruments. Who's that speaking of? Who was created like that? Now, God created that being, and that being fell. But that big being was created with tabors and pipes within itself. Who is it? Thank you, Brother Roger. That'd be Lucifer. That'd be Satan. Why do we have so-called churches and the backdrop is a drum set? That's the draw, the drums. We've been told this. We've been in a few different buildings. Finally, we've settled here in this building as our church house that houses the believers, that houses the church. And the guy pulled me aside. There's only like four people in church besides us, my family. And guy pulls me aside at the end of the church service. Some of you have heard this story before. And I mean, I thought it was going to be something real good. And it was, how you can really build a good church. You're preaching like the place is packed, but there's nobody here. Well, that's encouraging after something more. He said, he got upside of me and he said, drums. Bring in the drums. Get the people's emotions going. He's selling you on this. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your lunch. Yeah. We'll see you back here. Because I know that me arguing with him about bringing in a big drum set is going to cause me to get the people that aren't serious and lose the people that are serious. Okay? So we're not a dance club. We're not a rock concert. And we don't have everything blacked out, because what all that does, it tries to create a contrasting confusion. We black out all the walls, and then we throw all these contrasting lights, and everything flashes and moves every 3 or 4 seconds. You know what it is, Milan? Video game foolishness. It's video game Christianity. Every 5 seconds, there's a big, oh, ah! It's a carnival. It's a carnival. Here's the beach ball. Let's throw that around. Here's some Tootsie Rolls. Let's throw that around. It's Tootsie Roll Church. It's a clown show. We're not, that's not who we are. We're not running a big band concert rock arena. This is for God. We identify as a church where truth is preached. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about there's a distinction in the sounds. So when you walk into a church house, there should be a look of distinction. The singing, there should be a distinction. Holy versus unholy. The world versus the church. All these guys set up this big stage and they say, yeah, but we need to be separate from the world. That's funny, you're not. We need to be separate from the world, folks. 1 Timothy 3. Everybody read this verse together. 1 Timothy 3. Let's everyone, we'll all read verse 15 together. Ready? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So we should support truth, we should preach truth, we should teach truth, and we should come to want to hear it. You should expect it from me, I should expect it from you. Truth, right? Unadulterated truth. But you see where it says the house of God? Look at that in the text. This is not the building. The house of God isn't how we act in this public place of worship. That's a great preaching verse for some application of, hey, let's come and behave ourselves. But like we said earlier, God isn't dwelling in the ceiling tiles. God has housed himself. He has dwelt among us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so that is where God is dwelling, and he's housing himself within believers. Is God dwelling in a temple at Jerusalem anymore? No. Where is he dwelling? Within us. We know that, right? And it says, church of the living God. If you ever feel called to preach or start a work, that'd be a good name for a church. You know, just put on the sign, the church of the living God. That'd be a pretty good name. What is that church of the living God? It's men and women who know and believe the truth, and they're not afraid to openly and publicly declare it. Well, I came, this is why keying in on this, is people say, well, I came to the house of God. We come into this building and now we're in the house of God. Are we really? Look, I understand it's God's house. It's where we come to worship publicly. But he housed himself in you and I. What, do we somehow leave the presence of God if we were to meet in Trampas' basement? No. The house of God is now meeting somewhere else. But this mentality of, well, we're going to come to an event, we're going to come to a building, and now we're going to meet with God. The house of God goes out and meets with the public. And we try to have them come into an encounter with God so that they would trust him, repent and trust him as their Savior. So, church of the living God. And then, what's the end of this verse? After church of the living God, tell me what it says, nice and loud. The what?
The
right. The, Let's read it all together. Ready? The last phrase. The pillar and ground of truth. One more time, a little louder. So the church should exist to just maintain the pastor's salary, right? Right? No. But a lot of churches just exist because, well, we'll feel bad not giving the pastor a salary. That's not why the church is supposed to exist. It is supposed to exist to stand as a pillar for truth. And if we're not getting truth, just white out the word church. And we'll just call it pilgrim. The pilgrim wanderers. Because we're not really pilgrims anymore. It exists to teach truth. And it's not a sinking sand type thing. No, it's standing upright, solidly on a foundation.
Solid rock.
Hey, man. That's right. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Get the you guys get this chapter and verse. Matthew 16. Verse number 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. Let's read it nice and loud. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is Jesus speaking. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Milani, pretend you got yourself a hammer. Okay. Hannah, you get yourself a paintbrush. Okay. And start, get up on the wall and pretend you're hammering. Don't really hit the wall and pretend you're painting. Go ahead. And you go ahead, get up. You got yourself a saw and you got yourself a plumb and you're leveling out stuff. Go ahead and start working. And so you're building this and just want to give you the experience of what Brother Eric went through for 6 months. Okay. And so you're doing all this stuff. Okay, great. You're building it. You're building it, sawing and measuring and cutting and hammering and painting. All right, amen. Now have a seat. And you know what? It's a great job that we were able to build this. But the gates of hell will prevail against what we build. I mean, buildings fall apart. Buildings get old. And the gates of hell are going to prevail against man's work. That's why Christ came. So the builder of the church is who?
Not Peter.
Not Peter. Hey, man, not Peter. Well, we're so glad we found you. That's great. I heard that the preacher and a few of the men did a great job building this church. What should we say to that? They didn't build anything. The Lord is at work building his church. Amen. We are thankful that he used our hands and our feet and our low back. But we didn't build this. We were used as servants of the Most High God. He's going to build his church. So we identify as a church, meaning that we recognize God is the builder. Amen? Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, let's read verse 28 together. Acts 20, let's read 28 together. Ready? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. If you and I buy a building, we don't own the church. We own a building. We don't own people. Were you bought with a price? Did Christ purchase you with his blood? Not only is he the builder of the church, but Acts 20 tells us he's the owner. He's the owner. There might be a few men's names on a document that says we have the property rights to this, at least temporarily, until the Lord comes back. But we don't own the church. We own a building where the church meets to worship. And we have to get out of this mentality of, I think we're out of it, but I want people to that would even think of visiting us know what our emphasis is and how we identify as a church. We have gone through 1 Corinthians 12 so much on our baptism, but it's a body of one. It's a body of one with many what? Many members, right? But in 1 Corinthians 12, Christ, who's the expression of all the members? Hint, it's not me. Now, I'm supposed to oversee and lead and guide and direct, but not as the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm to point you to God, and I'm to point you to get in touch with the Holy, same Holy Spirit that I have. But I am not the pastor of the church is not the full expression of the many members. Who's the full expression of the many members? Christ. Right? Christ is all. He is the full expression of the many. That's how we're one. Except we're not one. Member, 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 member. Who expresses us all as one? That's right. Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. So God is the builder, God is the owner, He is the expression of all the members. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We have had 2 decades of false ideas saying that you should be able to come and have your felt needs. We're here to serve your felt needs. Do you know the best type of horse to have, what the horse trainers tell you? The best type of horse to have as a beginner, they say, is a gelding. That's a male horse that's been castrated. And a gelding is a good horse for a beginner. And it's just an all-around good horse. You know why it's a good horse? Because the horse trainer says that however that gelding acts on Monday, it's going to act on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. That gelding's going to get up every day, and it's going to do the same thing. That's what you got, and that's what you're going to have at the end of the week. It's the same. Now, you get a mare out there, it's going to wake up with different felt needs on Monday and different felt needs on Tuesday. And yeah, that's what's going to happen. The husband's going to look at the wife and say, what got into you? And she's not going to know what got into her. That's female. It is. Different emotions, different days, and nobody knows what happened. Well, let's try to meet their felt needs. Well, good luck with that. Stallion. You're going to get a stallion. You know what he's going to do? He's going to start wrecking the stall because he's stupid and he can't control himself. And the wife looks over to the husband and says, what is your problem? You just ruined this and wrecked this. Why did you do this? Why didn't you? How come you didn't fit? I'll tell you why. Because he's a dumb stallion. He can't control himself. He's wrecking the place. Try to minister to the felt needs of a male. They're going to be different all the time based on how we what? Feel. So I said all that to say this. Who has the preeminence? Your feelings? Your felt needs? I'll go if I feel good. I go if my felt needs are met. Or does Christ have the preeminence? You know what Christ is? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what all men need and all women need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ as the preeminence because He is going to be the one that brings them into His conformity being the same yesterday, today,
tomorrow, and forever.
Amen. You see that? If he doesn't have the preeminence, it's just all about how we feel and how we think. Truth doesn't prevail. Let's read verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, read verse 18. Nice and loud. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. The what? The preeminence. The preeminence. Let's read verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So in Christ, there's no lack of fullness. There's no lack of wisdom. There's no lack of grace. There's no lack of power. There's no lack of any of that. But there is in us. That's why we can't be the preeminent one. We can't be the one that guides it based on our feelings. Feelings come and go for all men and all women. It's just a fact of life. We need a preeminent one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got trouble? Find sufficiency in Christ. Ephesians 1. So Christ is the builder, Christ is the owner, Christ is the expression of all the members as one body. Christ has the preeminence as the head. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things, Ephesians 1, 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the government. Let's read it again. And give him head to be all things over
the church.
Christ is not ruling as a governing king until he comes back at his second coming. Christ is ruling over all things to the church. That's in the dispensation that we're in now, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the same thing we see as the head of the body, he is the one that it's the fullness of God. So us as a body of believers, we need to make sure we are completely connected to him. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. You need to hear you reading nice and loud here, young girls in the front row. Ephesians 2. Verse number 19. Ready? Let's all read it. Ephesians 2, 19. We'll read it to the end of the verse. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Folks, God is the great inhabitor of the house. He is the great inhabitor. And so, because people really don't want God as the great inhabitor, we have to use carnal events and carnal experiences to attract people. We got a big chuck wagon, come on out. Well, 50 people come out, and nobody shows next Sunday. Unless what? You have another carnal draw. Does God inhabit your house, your body? Hope so. Two more verses, Ephesians 4. As a church, it says in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, I'd like us to read verse 11 and 12 together. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, that's Paul's right there. We're not going to go down this rabbit trail. I believe we did it last Sunday afternoon. Apostles, there's a requirement for that. No one today meets those requirements. So someone that says they're an apostle is a false apostle. Okay? The church has a prophet can either foretell truth. It's all been foretold and we have it here in our Bible. An Old Testament prophet foretold future truth, and he also foretold present truth. A New Testament prophet can foretell future truth as long as it lines up with the future truth that's been revealed in the truth of the Word of God. Amen, right? How do you know something's false?
Well, I had a vision. Just turn the guy off.
It's always the ones that have visions.
I had a dream. I had a vision. You know, that's how...
I won't even go down this road. I'll just mention it and go down it later. That's how the New Apostolic Reformation formed. The guy had a vision. Turn it off, man. It's false. It's false. We have pastors, teachers, evangelists, and a prophet. If he's going to foretell something future, it's not from a dream, it's from this book. And that's what the church was given.
And their visions almost never line up with the book at all.
Right. So. Right. That's right, Jamin. And they want to get themselves on the bestseller book, and they want to sell their books to get people off the book. Look, this book's okay, but really read what my dream was, because that'll really unlock the secret truths. Buddy, I got the secret truths right here, and they're not secret. Anybody can learn them. It's like, look at verse number 12. Here is why. The church, we identify as a church. We want it to be known that we're a church. And here's why a church stands. Verse number 12. Let's read it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are we one body? We're many members. We're one body. So when we get together, I want some perfecting because I'm not always perfect. I want to improve my work for the ministry because it's not always up to par, and a lot of times it's subpar. And I want to be edified because I know you need to be edified and we all need to be built up. That's why the church exists. I am not edifying you by feeding you candy all the time. Here, Brother Chris, here's some more Tootsie Rolls to eat. 10 years of that, you're going to rot your teeth out. And 10 years of false truth, you're going to rot your mind and your heart out. That's why the church exists. Last verse, and then we'll be done. Ephesians 5, verse number 30. Let's read verse 30 and 31. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's Jesus, right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So, for my wife and I to be married, we had to leave our natural relationship with our parents. We had to leave that natural relationship, and we had to come together as one flesh. Did you have a natural birth, a first birth? We all did, born of water, a fleshly birth. But we must leave that union and be now born a second time. That's the new birth. That's the spiritual birth. That's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. So the marriage is a picture of Christ and the believer. We're joined as one. One flesh. What are we with Christ? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Marriage pictures how the church should operate. The next two verses. Watch what it says. Let's read it together, 32 and 33. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's trying to get us to get a connection here. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Why? Because God so loved the world. We're the bride of Christ. And watch. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Why? Well, because we have a lot of people that aren't reverencing the body. They're not reverencing Christ's body, the church. So God uses this picture of a marriage to show the leaving and then the joining of one flesh and then the loving and the reverence relationship in a marriage to show and reflect what the church should be. Are you married this morning? That's how we testify of how great our God is. By the way that our marriages are. You can bring this back to, if you get the marriage right, you can get the family right. You get the family right. Who makes up the body? Those birthed in, right? You see that connection? Christ loved us. Do we reverence him? Does the husband love the wife? Does the wife reverence him? But God didn't say, but he died for his church. He purchased his church. He owns the church. He loves the church. As the bride, we should reverence the one who built it, purchased it, inhabits it, owns it.